podcast. What is up? Happy day, whatever day it is that you are checking out this episode of the Pandemonium Reigns podcast. We appreciate it so much. We don't like necessarily doing these episodes solo because we love doing it so much together, but boy, y'all have made it worth our while. You've made it so, so meaningful. We appreciate everyone on YouTube, on the podcast. You guys seem to be eating it up right now. We really appreciate that. And really today just wanted to mainly look back at Oklahoma and what a win that was for Heupel, for the team, for every fan in Vol Nation on the road in Norman Saturday night. Want to look back at that through the lens of a few questions that have hit me just as I've kind of basked in and relished the win that that was. Want to do, you know, a little bit of a look kind of overall at the team, where we stand one third of the way through this journey that is the 2024 season. And then also want to do some very, very light preview work towards Arkansas and kind of what's left on this schedule for Tennessee, you know, the teams that they're going to face, what the season's kind of looking like and shaping up to be so far. But again, we thank you so much for checking out everything lately. Y'all have been way too good for us. We really, really appreciate that. We super miss, you know, coming at you together because we really, really enjoy, you know, making the show and talking the sport. It's what we love, but we appreciate y'all so much. It's been really encouraging, really positive lately, and just really want to thank y'all for that. But without further ado, what a flex. What a flex. Defensively, what a flex by Heupel. He coached a low-key masterpiece on Saturday night. Everyone's probably seen the video of him and Nico coming off the field, and he's, you know, just telling Nico, heck of a job, you know, just kind of editing Heupel down just a tad. Heck of a job. Leaned on the defense because of the way that they were making life so hard on Oklahoma, just like they've done to everyone else all season. Just what a job. I text Dan and I said, our boy is growing up right before our eyes. And I don't mean Nico. I mean Josh Heupel. And obviously he's not a young boy. He's not a young coach even. He's a grown man. And he's coaching like it. He knows he's got a defense full of grown men. You know, it really feels like he's building a situation, of course, with the help of his wonderful staff at this point. What the product they're putting on the field, you know, convinced me that it's not a wonderful staff, that they're really going to be in position to kind of stack, like I talked about in earlier episodes, stack talent really where it matters. The work that's being done on the trenches defensively is just, guys, it's incredible. It's stuff that we've not seen consistently in 20 plus years. I mean, it's phenomenal. We all owe like a check to Rodney Garner. We owe one to Tim Banks. We owe one to Willie Martinez. We owe one to Josh Heupel. Obviously they're earning those paychecks this year. You know, we've had coaches come through here, get paid millions of dollars in buyouts and in salaries and do just God awful work on the field, in the recruiting pipelines and, you know, and bringing talent to the university. And that is just not the case right now. Tennessee is lining up to be able to really stack guys because going forward, okay, we're talking to a 4- and 5-star position player at any level of the defense. We've got new stuff. I mean, absolute fire on film to show those guys. Here's how you're going to be coached. Here's how we're going to use you at Tennessee. I mean, we're doing it with guys that were 4- and 5-stars coming out, Josephs, Pierce, Omari Thomas, you know. We're doing it with the transfers that we didn't even, like, blink at in this past offseason, like Jackson Moy. I mean, Omar Norman Lutt, if you were someone that was like, oh, my gosh, we got him when he committed to Tennessee out of the portal, then props to you because you clearly know your stuff. You clearly watched some film. You probably saw the motor that guy has brought throughout the course of this season. Maybe not so much in Norman, but – on the whole, he's been a heck of a motor guy. He has been just vital for this defense, again, that's been assembled. They're really, really going to be able to, I think, show great film to secondary players, and that's kind of been the bugaboo when Tennessee might have done everything right, but we were just too thin, too injured in some cases. When you look at, like, the 2023 season, or flat out just didn't have the pieces. Maybe you go back to 22 or 21 – to show to secondary players. Look at the way a Jacoby Thomas from MTSU is just murdering ball carriers right now. And obviously last week he got dinged for it. This week he said, okay, hold my beer. I'm knocking this guy clean into our sideline. He's going to feel me and not want to get back up for the next play. That was What a hit. What a hit that was. Dear Lord. Jeremiah McCoy, what a recruit. Whatever was told to him in recruiting, props to everyone on staff that played a part in that. It sounded like they had some work to do to kind of sell him on, hey, again, how we're going to use you, what we're going to have to support you on the field in terms of pass rush and other players around you, whatever it was. Massive shout out, because I think he's the perfect missing piece for a defense like this one. We obviously saw him shine in Norman Saturday night. And look, okay, make the case all you want that, you know, any of Tennessee's secondary players over the last few years could thrive in this defense, and they probably could do much more than they ever did with the assists from the defensive line, with the constant fear and pressure and hits that quarterbacks are taking from anyone in this defense, you know, as it's been already. And you probably have a point, but Jerome McCoy is special. He is a ball hawk. He adapts really well to the ball in the air. I mean, he basically played a flawless game in Norman Saturday night, and I mean, really shut down whoever was on his side of the field. That, like, he, great addition. All right, this, I made a point. Maybe the North Carolina State recap. I know I was really fired up. My blood pressure was probably super unhealthy that game, just because I was riding really high. What can I say? Okay. And I said something along the lines of, I can't even remember what I said. That's where I'm at these days. Something along the lines of, mad credit to the work that's been done in the portal. Okay, where as fans, you know, we see, and this is a bad example because it's an offensive example and I'm talking defense, but, you know, we see Juice Wells hop in the portal and, oh my God, go get this guy. And Tennessee just doesn't jump at everyone in the portal, okay? There are teams that live and die by the portal. Ole Miss is kind of showing you how to live by it. Florida State showing you how to die by it. We know that. That's nothing new, and I've talked about it every episode. It's not something I really want to keep hammering home. So just an example for this scenario, though. I mean, again, Jackson Moy, did we even blink twice? Yay, we got a recruit. That's probably it. Like, we got someone in the portal, but, oh my God, it's out of position where we don't really need any help. Like, that's probably our reaction, you know, when on the day that Jackson Moy committed to Tennessee. Or, again, going back to Omar Norman Lott, prior to last season, like, that's probably where we were. Like, just a piece at a position we're really strong. Cool. Can we also do it maybe in the secondary next? Again, man, just the work, whatever selective process, however they kind of get into the DNA and the character, or, you know, the brotherhood and aspect of these guys. And maybe even more so when one does come along, you know, not to pile on, but the linebacker from Texas who kind of had some issues here and there for sure. You know, we don't let that bring an entire season down or a game down, at least on the whole, very often. So mad credit to the work that this staff does in the portal. It is top notch, next level. And again, I talked about, you know, at the top of the episode, looking at this game through the lens of a few questions that I have. So I want to go ahead and do that now. All right. Question number one, not going to be that rigid about it every time. This one's still more of a in the joking category than serious, but I'm, you know, when I'm not making this episode today, what I'll probably be doing is typing up a well-worded apology to Tim Banks and Willie Martinez, at the least. You know, Inge, we've not said anything probably about Inge so far, and my God, if we do, it's glowing. It's really good the way he's got Carter, Peely, T-Lander, young guys flying around, burying ball carriers, especially in the case of Keenan Peely. My gosh, if I saw him coming, you know, I might be sacrificing myself and just going down on the play, because I do not want to be buried in the grass or the turf, whatever surface we're playing on. We probably don't owe Inge an apology. I owe Tim Banks and Willie Martinez the biggest apology. I can't, if I ran a search in my text messages for all the times that I probably said something like, to it towards the direction of a DB, turn your head. Honestly, I said it a lot in 2023, and the defense took steps in 2023. They played good halves here, good games there. I mean, you know, not going to dive fully into this yet, but we pretty much saw Tennessee, Texas A&M from 2023 play out in Norman on Saturday night in 2024, with the exception that there's so much more explosion and potential on each side of the ball. But again, if I had a dime probably for every time I said, you know, again, referring to a defensive back, turn your head, play the ball, okay? If I had just a penny for each of those times, I'd probably have a dollar at least, okay? Perhaps it was all along just how much we needed to take a step in the roster department, And they finally got the guys here that are taking the coaching, that can see the film breakdown, that can be coached up. All those things are finally coming to fruition. Maybe it's that. And look, I've got complaints going back, you know, to Willie Martinez's first tenure here. If you ask Georgia fans, there are complaints there about his tenure there. Whatever it is, I still, you know, for four games through a season, I apologize. And you will be hearing from me probably in your DMs if they're open, or in a reply to another tweet. If not, that's at @coach_NEZ, Coach Nez, also an underscore there at the end. So it's at @coach_Nez_. Yeah, he's getting one. Also at Coach Tim Banks, he's getting one as well. Because again, it's just shaping up that they just had to get, and I'm not saying they're, you know, like we talk about coaches sometimes, we joke about coaches sometimes that, well, if they don't have that roster full of five stars, what are they going to do? And I think there are signs that this roster is still not full of five stars. There's obviously more talent than there's been consistently in a long time in Knoxville right now. But maybe they just needed the caliber of athletes that they've got right now. And it is higher end three stars, and it is four stars, and it is mixing in some five stars here and there, mainly on the defensive line still. But again, the profile, the caliber has taken a step up at every level, defensively, certainly offensively. We know how this has been the case with the way it's been a receiver, and certainly at quarterback, the way Tennessee's recruiting. And look, four-star linemen are kind of filling in everywhere. We know Lance Hurd, five-star. We all obviously got to get him straightened out, got to get on the field. But again, maybe it was just truly that Banks, Martinez, you know, maybe it's some Hopple philosophy in there on what he thinks of what he envisions his defensive being. But all those things he said, you know, really going all along, but specifically going back to, you know, how he hammered it home after the NC State win, they're playing out every week in front of our eyes, y'all. The speed that Tennessee pursues the ball with, whether it's the quarterback drop back, whether it's a man making a catch, which has been tough for teams to do, or if it's a ball carrier. Again, you know, Oklahoma got to the edge a couple times. Dan talked about that. I've heard others talk about it. And really, they paid the price, and they had a swarm of orange, Watt and Norman Saturday night coming their way anytime that was the case. And I mean, just again, the speed profile, the strength profile, again, specifically defensive line, but it's a stronger defense. It is a much faster and athletic defense. And, you know, maybe everything that we heard in terms of the youth movement in the secondary and just, again, the raised speed and athleticism, awareness, whatever it is across the board is what it took ultimately for Tim Banks and Willie Martinez. But they're just putting together masterpieces right now and making life just miserable for any offensive player, for any idea of what a coach wants to attack with offensively. They're making it so tough, making it really just dang near impossible. But yeah, that's my first question, and I stand by it. You know, is your apology ready to go out to Tim Banks, at Coach Tim Banks, and Willie Martinez? You know, have you got them on Twitter? I'm sure if we were really creative, we could probably figure out their UT email address, all these things. And if you figured out, send it your boys' way. Because they've earned them, and they're coaching some dang good football right now. Pursuit, speed, again, just the attack of this defense is off the charts right now, and I'm here for it. And again, you know, I would say the check is in the mail, but you're getting a pretty nice salary, and you're earning it right now to the max. So the written apology on the way. Check your inboxes, check your DMs. Coaches, we appreciate the work. Excuse me. You know, next question. In the past, I know that we've not had much trust, and this is not to really beat home question number one, but we've had limited trust in the defense. You know, could we score enough points to outlast the team? And again, there's been signs that's been breaking along the way. I think if we look back now, you know, Kentucky last year, Texas A&M for sure last year, where we didn't have to have, 30 points, I think, for Tennessee to win a game under Hopple. You know, we didn't trust that. That was our level of trust in the defense, was that, yeah, if we don't score 30, 35, it ain't happening, or it's going to be dang tough. And look, the Texas A&M win last year was tough. Kentucky, you know, they gave us their best offensive performance of the season, especially Devin Leary. You know, we know those things. But in terms of trust, as fans right now, and really I wish I could pick Hopple's brain on this and just get an off-the-record answer that, you know, probably couldn't even be shared or whatever, but I want to know who does he trust the least right now? You know, I've heard from some that it's that he doesn't have trust in Nico. That's why it was conservative the other night. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going with that yet. I think rather than untrust or distrust in Nico, it is let's not throw him to the wolves. Let's not put all the pressure on him to win a game on the road when we've got this defense that is, again, I'm not going to beat the point into the ground, but just making life miserable. We've got this defense. We've got this run game that gave us 150 yards. And that's, again, also been in the magic number category for what Tennessee needs to win a game, like 30 points was previously. You know, I don't think it's Nico that Hop will trust the least. I guess at that point, it would have to be the wide receivers or the offensive line. And I think if you want to categorize the question like this, who does he trust the least, and you want to specifically frame it for Saturday night, it's got to be that offensive line. I mean, again, whatever the deal was with Lance Hurd, it's not optimal. You know, he's your biggest NIL piece addition for this season for sure, I would think. You know, Nico's deal was obviously huge and it is looking to have been worth it, all those things. But in terms of new additions for 2024, it's probably Lance Hurd. And, well, we need some ROI. And we've had it in the time he's been on the field. He's looked good, but we've got to have him on the field. We've got to be playing. All those things have got to play out. You know, Campbell, he was fighting some injuries the other night. There's obviously youth. There's obviously you got guys that have joined as walk-ons behind them. Youth being, obviously, I think what we'll see trusted going forward, but maybe they weren't ready for that fierce defense that Oklahoma had because, you know, those of you that are saying that that's one of the top defenses that Tennessee's going to face this year, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's probably going to be like Oklahoma and Georgia, probably not in that order necessarily, and then Alabama. And then, you know, we'll kind of get to it after that, but obviously Alabama has a lot more new there. We're not even going to go back into that either. But, you know, Georgia, we know, is going to have a stellar defense, whatever their offense turns into, whether Kentucky was a fluke, whether Kentucky knew it was coming. You know, they're not bad offensively. They're not that. But we know they're pretty good defensively. Oklahoma's got a fierce defense. That defensive line also presented problems. You know, they plugged gaps, and they did that with their linebackers as well. You know, they're probably gettable more at the secondary levels, you know, their corners and their safeties. But, you know, again, framing this from who did Hopple trust the least, who does Hopple trust the least, at least right now, I think it's got to be that offensive line. And look, I'm not framing this or saying this is the worst thing ever. I'm saying that Hopple was – I'm just bringing kind of another angle to say that Hopple was incredibly smart to not force the issue, to not roll out his 2021 or 2022 offenses in situations where Tennessee couldn't block the men in front of you because of, again, who you had available, who you had in Norman the other night. And again, really put unnecessary pressure on Nico to win a game that, I mean, look, a game that was 22-3 entering the fourth quarter, I believe, you know, a game that you won by 10 and you know, one of those touchdowns by Oklahoma was propped up by a really, really generous roughing the passer on Arion Carter. You know, I know there was some contact to the head, but I mean, you got to be able to block the pass somehow if he's getting the pass off. So, or if he's attempting a pass, you've got to be able to block it somehow. And, well, Arion Carter wasn't given that opportunity necessarily. And look, you got to keep your hands out of the quarterback's head. We've seen it, all that. But in terms of trust right now, you can't tell me that Hopwell doesn't trust Nico. I do think he's nurturing a young and learning quarterback who's not started 10 games yet. That I'll go with. I will not go with distrust. Receivers, you know, I don't think he distrusts them because, again, it's and maybe part of it is that he's still figuring out which ones he wants to lean on the most because we've seen Thornton flash this year in ways that he didn't consistently last year and that he's still got to do consistently. We've seen Brew being Brew. Oh, my gosh. You get away from him if you're in the open field, if you're trying to tackle him, or you're probably taking a worse hit than he's taken. You know, we've got to get Squirrel going. We didn't see the tight ends as much. In fact, you know, it was a couple of third down pickups that I really, really liked. But I do think what I'm getting at is we do need to see them create some more separation. And obviously, we need Nico to have the time to get it to him. And he doesn't need, you know, they got to be wide butt naked open. But, you know, we've got to give him time. And then they've got to give him at least a window or a seam or a direction to throw towards to lead them. But again, just kind of framing that from who does Hopple trust the least. I'm curious to hear y'all's thoughts as well. So, you know, let us know in the comments if you don't think it's the OL or, you know, if you're someone that thinks he mismanaged the situation or went too conservative. Look, I checked with one of, in my life, the greatest authorities on going too conservative. That's my dad. You know, I asked him, did he think that we went too conservative? And, you know, he said we sat on the lead, but we controlled the game, and he was really, really happy with how the defense played out. And, you know, I don't know how you would really fight with that take. I can't. You know, there's too many football people. And again, speaking from my limited football knowledge, I think he managed it almost perfectly. Just conservative enough to prevent Nico from taking another hit, from potentially giving up another fumble, which does need to be tidied up, ball security when, you know, the chance of a hit is coming. But right now you've got a defense that can, man, you can give them, the opponent, the ball inside the 10, and they can bow up and force the ball right back. I mean, that's lucky in forcing the breaks to fall your way in some regards, but that's strength, man. That's real strength that Tennessee's not had in some time, which actually really, really goes really well into my next question. You know, what year did that win feel like? You know, defensively, I think, again, that it felt a lot like 2023 Texas A&M. Not on the whole, though. I mean, there was so much defensive flexing going on that I can't say 2023. I can't say anything post 2008, probably, at what that felt like defensively. I mean, and I'm not pointing to 2008. Obviously, there was a lot of bad football played in 2008, and, you know, Fulmer got fired as a result. But what year did that win feel like? And I'm not just saying defensively. You know, on the whole, all things considered, what year did it feel like when the clock struck zero in Norman on Saturday night? It just didn't really feel like, you know, Earth, 2020s, or at least 2010s, Tennessee football when the clock struck zero with that win the other night. And I'm not just talking about the ugly streak that was broken, you know, follow all the time that's passed since winning in Athens in 06, et cetera, you know. But, you know, what year did that win feel like? And I think it's definitely that era. I mean, because, again, you know, I talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, like I said, Heupel is growing up right before our eyes, the way that he's kind of molded and found new ways to win games. And it's just year four here. And also it's just like year seven of Heupel as a head coach, just highlighting those things that we already know. But yeah, it didn't feel like what we have been, which is great, which we know all the changes all the good changes that have happened. I mean, it didn't feel like that. You know, a lot of people, you know, maybe more casual or more extreme fans, ones that stay at the level of my blood pressure and blood temperature following the NC State win, want to say things like 98 defense, 2001 defense. And I'm not quite there yet. I'm not saying this defense isn't good enough to make a playoff run or a championship run or perhaps win one. And I'm not calling for that yet either. But, you know, I'm not willing to go quite that far yet either. It's probably more, you know, you just find like the best year between, again, probably 01 and when things fell to pieces for Fulmer and he was ultimately let go, because I don't think Kiffin obviously didn't have this. Dooley, I'm not in, no. Butch, no. Pruitt, no. And that's why he was brought here. Or that's why, you know, moved up the ranks as a coach, was because of his defensive prowess. And it never happened. He never had time to do it, whatever. You know, so I would say just pick your, you know, your best year, your best blend of a year, even between, like, you know, 2000 and when things fell off of Fulmer. And that's what that felt like. I mean, again, stayed with the run game long enough, did enough passing. The potential and the ceiling there just is hardly one. Like, it's a matter of guys getting healthy more than it is just how limited Nico and this offense is, because he looks like a guy without limits when you really look at it. I mean, Tennessee ran the ball for 2.9 yards per rush, to the tune of 151 yards on 52 carries. That's a lot of carries. And again, almost three per. I would present you with Oklahoma's 34 rush attempts for 36 yards, 1.1 per carry. And again, that just turns the clock back for me on what that win felt like. About 20 years, because the defense was nasty. Heupel, in his way that he chose to win this game, which Tennessee had 11 and a half more minutes of time of possession. And I know, you know, maybe that's going to be a trend with these new rules, because you're just first down, don't drop the ball, et cetera, and you run clock until, you know, under 2 minutes, 2 minute warning, et cetera. You know, staying in bounds late in halves, things like this. And it just, it just takes the clock back for me. You know, offense, again, I think it's just turning into a blend of Heupel's best, because I can't really, for the, just like the way that I'm not saying the defense is like 98 level, 2001 level, because, you know, of a championship and because of like Henderson, Haynesworth, et cetera, you know, Chavis, all those things. I'm not willing to go that far for this defense yet. I'm also not willing to say that Heupel is some over-conservative, you know, again, just drain the clock. Although that's what he did very effectively, that's just not what we are. We're not there. We played the game smart and dominated it. I mean, just the evidence is everywhere. 120 more total yards, 8 more pass yards on 13 fewer attempts. You won the turnover battle by 1. You lost the penalty game by 50 yards. And again, there were some very questionable things in there, or very light things in there, that led to those calls happening. Less first downs, but you also weren't trying to claw your way out of, you know, 19 and 22-3, et cetera. You weren't trying to come back, and you weren't turning to your freshman quarterback or your backup quarterback. You weren't playing from behind. So a lot of those things are kind of natural with that. And like I said, you still outpassed them. You outran them by, you know, leaps and bounds, even with a not so great yards per rush. But again, you know, just I want to know in the comments kind of what year did that make you feel like? And if you're a Vol fan younger than me, 32 years of age, and you've seen mainly in your, you know, I've got great football in the late 90s, early 2000s that I lived and breathed on for a while. But if you're a younger fan than me, you don't have that. So perhaps I'm reaching out to our, you know, my age and older audience here, but what year did that win? When, what did it feel like? You know, if it's not a Tennessee win, you know, give me examples of what that felt like, just kind of the way that Tennessee controlled the game, did what they were supposed to do. They didn't push, I keep saying it, but they didn't throw Nico to the wolves and let him keep continue to get hit or turn the ball over or put him in unnecessary pressure or, you know, give him things that are going to be on his mind and may scar him for the future. All those things, they didn't do it. So those are reasons I think it's great that Tennessee and Heupel played it the way that he did. I mean, especially when you have him coming off the field talking to Nico and heck of a job, you know, here's why we did it. And Nico's like, yeah, man, duh. Like, great, great call, coach. Thanks. And, you know, the team rewards him with a game ball in the end on a very emotional return in Norman. All those things. What year did it feel like? That's all I want to ask. And that's really what I want to hear from you, the listener, in the comments. One final or just a couple final questions to kind of land this plane, wrap up this episode. You know, speaking of trust, somewhat speaking of fear, is it still Georgia? Is it Alabama? Who puts the most, you know, kind of hitch in your giddy up? Who kind of instills the most fear in you, the fan, for, you know, the remainder of the season? I'm not saying that Tennessee can't go to Arkansas and lose. I'm not saying Florida can't continue to pull the rabbit out of the hat. I'm just saying when you look at those teams, those are not who you fear the most by, you know, just rules of nature. And again, the guys that Alabama and Georgia have had on their teams, you know, who instills the most fear? What's your level of confidence at? And where's your record kind of stand a third of the way through the season? Those are things I want to, again, also hear in the comments and in our replies and all those good things I want to know. And then, again, I want to just briefly look at Arkansas a little bit. Not going to preview the game today. We've got 10 days to do that, and I'm going to enjoy those days because I know as those days take place, rest is happening, healing is happening for a lot of guys on this team that, again, have played 4 pretty tough games and that have a really, really tough stretch coming, you know. So, and Arkansas is not, even if Tennessee goes to Fayetteville and wins comfortably, which is not what Tennessee does in Fayetteville, like it just hasn't gone that way before. And again, we think we're a new team. We think we're a program that's taking steps. So perhaps that's what Tennessee should do. But, you know, Arkansas does have some playmakers and some intrigue from literally top to bottom, you know, with Taylen Green, Jaquita Jackson, Landon Jackson, a lot of guys that can make plays. And again, it's a weird place for Tennessee historically. So I'm not, you know, diving all the way into that. But, you know, matchup predictor, 81.2% in Tennessee's favor today. Again, with about 10 days to go until that matchup is played out. Arkansas obviously led by Taylen Green passing the football. 65 of 121 for a nasty, ugly 53.7% so far. 4 touchdowns passing, 4 touchdowns rushing, 4 interceptions, and 9 sacks taken through their 4 games. One other thing that I want to highlight, and again, you know, just high level right now, is they've got a very physical game coming up with Texas A&M on Saturday while Tennessee is getting that very, very, very important rest, relaxation, time with friends, family, whatever it is. As long as Tennessee handles the bye week appropriately, that's what they'll be doing instead of, again, facing a very physical Texas A&M team. No matter what the talent level is, you're going to be felt by Texas A&M when you play them this year. Jaquinnon Jackson, I mentioned him, rushing the ball. He's 69 attempts for 472 yards and 8 touchdowns. He's going at 6.8 yards per clip right now. That's strong, and I don't care who you've played. It's kind of like, you know, another, and they've played Oklahoma State. They played and beat Auburn this week. So that's not, you know, that's not Kent State. That's not UTC. That's a pretty decent a group of teams that they've played, obviously. Andrew Armstrong leading the way for them through, you know, as a receiver with his 23 receptions for 348 yards, along of 35. No touchdowns, which is a little odd when you kind of look at his 23 receptions and the fact that number two has got only 10 receptions and only one of the touchdowns. So a little intrigued, but, you know, perhaps what we can say is Taylen Green doesn't spread it around all that much. He needs to take steps for his sake. For his completion percentage and limit the turnovers for sure. But again, it's going to be a matchup of great intrigue. I think that's just what it always is with Arkansas. I mean, it's just been a weird place, you know, whether it was the Wildcat kind of being launched on Tennessee 20 years ago. I don't think that's, you know, something that'll happen this game or would hurt Tennessee in the same way. But Taylen Green is a great athlete, you know, and Jaquinnon Jackson's a great athlete. And they've got those guys that they've added through the portal. And they've got a coach that's coaching for his job that I respect the heck out of. And, you know, if there was any coach on remaining on the schedule that I think just on his merit for his positional coaching history that could do something about Tennessee's pass rush, it would probably be Sam Pittman. Now, he may be so limited with what he has to protect that, you know, Taylen Green and prevent, you know, penetration coming all across the offensive line and from our rush, you know, that it may not matter. But if there's a guy that I was going to look to trust, then it would be Sam Pittman. I mean, that's just, he's that good of an offensive line coach. And, you know, that's just the work that he's put out there. But we'll do, you know, more reacting to Arkansas, Texas A&M. We'll do a lot of reacting this week if we do, you know, anything. Because, again, our guys got their feet up when they're not out there continuing to get better and continue to work on some of the issues that we definitely have. I mean, you know, we're a 4-0 football team, which is perfect in record, but that's it. I mean, Nico's got some things he can clean up. You know, the defensive line has probably got some things they can clean up when you look at, again, the competition they've played, the worries that if Oklahoma came to that game full health and they didn't on the offensive line, we should have done what we did. You know, so I'm sure there's things that can be done better when you have a guy like Rodney Garner, who, speaking of coaches at their position, you know, Sam Pittman a moment ago, give me Rodney Garner over anyone. I don't care. So, you know, there's going to be some things that he can find in the film to make these guys even better. And that's terrifying if Tennessee remains on your team's schedule. You know what I mean? So there's that. But that's what we're going to be doing this week. We're going to be working on our issues. We're going to be kicking our feet up, getting healthy, all those things, gearing into a tough road test, even if, you know, it's a game that Tennessee pulls away and wins by a bunch. You know, it's going to be a tough opponent. And it's always been a weird place to play. I keep saying it, but it's true. So there's that for sure. But, yeah. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Pandemonium Rams. We appreciate it so much. Can't thank you enough for the support, especially of late. It's been amazing to see. Thank you so much. God bless. GBO.